Praise God. How I first believed. Amen. He come to my side and come into my soul and saved this old boy. I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of past explaining. I'll tell you one thing. It's one of them kind of things you know when you get it. And I'm glad I am saved. I'm no question about it. That's not even an issue that I'm even concerned about. Somebody said, "Hey, you know you're saved." Well, I was there when it happened. Something big as God moves in you, it'll show up somewhere. And I don't know if it'll show up somewhere. Man, I tell you what, I found myself doing things I couldn't believe I was doing. I went all over, kind of like the preacher this morning. I went all over Glasgow apologizing to people. I went in Lessenberry Building Supply and apologized to a woman for giving her cousin. I went to Park Avenue Furniture and apologized to a preacher over there for bragging about how much beer I was going to drink when I got home. You know how drunks talk and stuff and how sinners talk. But I tell you what, boy, the Lord move in, things will be different. And things have been different. Of 23 years, I'm about 1988, this 2012, that may be close to 24 years, I don't know. I'll tell you one thing, praise God, 1 second of salvation is better than 100 lifetimes of a lost man. And I'll tell you what, glad I'm saved tonight. Hallelujah. I enjoyed the service this morning. Brother Keith Sullivan come by and visited with us this morning, and that sure was a blessing. And I tell you what, boy, I like to hear good preaching. That was good preaching this morning. And anybody, I'll tell you what, come this morning and get something from that message. Probably didn't bring something to put something in. There's plenty of it there. Amen. Praise the good Lord. Well, we've been preaching a series about Lot. I kind of titled the series Lessons from Lot. And the first one was what Lot saw. I mentioned he saw abominations that abhorred God. That's the reason God destroyed Sodom. And I preached about what Lot heard. And he heard the filthy conversation of the wicked. He heard the cries of the abused and all of that. We're going to preach tonight on what Lot did. And it's a pretty rough message. I'll just give you a forewarning, so put your seatbelt on and we'll read here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, down to verse number 10. Bible said, "But there were false prophets also among the people." Now, when it says among the people, that's talking about the people of God. Now, it's one thing for the world to have their idols, you know, American Idol, and I don't know, their movie stars and rock stars and you name it, but you know, their heroes of the football, the baseball, the golf, or whatever. But among God's people, the Bible said there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. So this is not outdated, this is up to date among us. Who shall privately, that means someone looking for an opportunity, kind of whisper in your ear, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Someone said, "Brother Eddie, what do you think about a Christian after he gets saved if he starts living a simple life? Swift destruction." I can take the Bible here and show you, you ain't going to live long. You take the Lord's Supper unworthy. The Bible said, "For this reason, many are sick, weak, sleep this day." It said, "If we judge ourselves, we not be judged of the Lord." Paul said, "How shall man think he live any longer doing those kind of things?" I'll be honest with you, buddy. There's consequences of living ungodly as a saved person. Bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, who through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Here's our text verse. For that righteous man dwelling among them in sin and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. We'll stop right there and go, Lord, in prayer. Preach tonight on what Lot did. Father, we thank You for the blessing to be saved, for the blessing to be in the house of God. Thank You, Lord, for the blessing this morning. Lord, hear Brother Keith Sullivan preach this morning. Lord, God, just all over Him. Father, we thank You, Lord, for passing by this morning. And Father, we ask, dear Father, tonight You'd pass by tonight. Father, the hour has come, now's the time for preaching the Word of God. And Lord, I wish there were more here tonight for the message. But Lord, for the sake of those that are here, I call upon You, dear Father, tonight. Father, I pray You'll take me and the nothing I have to offer, do something with it for the praise and glory of my Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray, dear Father, tonight that the Word of God, Lord, that it would not hit, Lord, just fall upon the ground, or Lord, find the rocky ground, or find, Lord, the bad ground. I pray, Father, the Word of God find the good ground tonight. I pray, Lord, dear God, it would register in the hearts of the believers, Lord. I pray, Lord, some would be encouraged. I pray some would be edified and some be exhorted. And I pray, dear Father, in all of it, You be exalted. And we thank You and praise You tonight. Ask these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus' precious name. We ask it. Amen. Lessons from Lot. What Lot did. The Bible says, Genesis chapter 13, that's a wicked chapter. Genesis chapter 13, verse number 12, says Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. I won't be politically correct tonight. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. We'll be kind of nice tonight. But I want you to know that Sodom was wicked as hell. Wasn't nothing good about Sodom. It wasn't no place to take your family. It was the worst place that a man of God could take his family. And I want you to know when Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, he should have took another thought. And he should not have ever done that. I'll tell you what, I believe there's some modern day Sodoms today. I believe there's some places today that we would abstain from. But Lot, I tell you what, he didn't make a good choice when he looked towards Sodom. He didn't make a good choice when he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And he didn't make a good choice when he moved his tent down there to Sodom. I want you to know he chose darkness over light. And the Bible said in St. John chapter number 3, verse number 19 through 20, it says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And it says everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. I'll tell you what Lot did. He put his family in jeopardy, moving to Sodom. I'll tell you what, a lot of people made the same decision that Lot has. You know, life's full of decisions. I'll tell you what, I think the man's the head of the house. And I think he's got a lot of responsibility upon him. I think he ought to be a man of discernment. I think he ought to be a man of prayer. I think he ought not just do anything without seeking the counsel of God and without calling upon the Lord for leadership, for light. I'll tell you what, boy, I believe a lot of men, even today, have made some poor choices. A lot of men today have took their family places they should have never took them, and it's caused the downfall of a lot of families and caused them to get a divorce and caused them to have suffering and pain and problems and everything else. But you know what? Lot put his family in jeopardy when he moved them down there to Sodom. And amen. Might be quiet in here tonight. I know it's kind of messy here tonight. It's kind of like having surgery. Kind of quiet. Hear the fluorescent light bulbs humming. But you know what caused Lot to leave the good fellowship of Abraham? Genesis 13, verse 7. Abraham said, let there be no strife between me and thee. We be brethren. You'd be surprised how many people through strife have made decisions and you know, made moves and went somewhere because of strife. You know, a little leaven, the Bible said, it leaveneth the whole life. And I tell you what, buddy, you know, I got an answer to God. This old boy, I'm not perfect. I certainly don't want to come across like I've already arrived or anything like that. I'm just like you. I feel God miserably every day. I was on my knees this morning, 4:30 this morning, crying to God and saying, Lord, I'm just clay, your potter, and I'd like to be a vessel of honor. I'd like you to get the dross out. I'd like you to purge me. I'd like you to forgive me. I'd like you to mold and make me to where I could honor you in my life, where I could walk before you in the beauty of holiness, where I could bring sinners to you and they get saved. But I'll tell you right now, I'm far from what I ought to be. Amen. Old Paul, he's probably the most honest man in the Bible. Now, how many people in here would say, oh, wretched man that I am? You know, that's honesty. Paul, not very many Pauls around. More Lots than all Pauls. But Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, that which I would do, I do not. That which I would not, that I do. Oh, me. But old Lot, he had a little bit of strife between his uncle and him. According to verse number 7 of Genesis chapter 13, verse number 6 tells us that the reason they had this strife was because their substance had become great. You know, a lot of people get married. I may chase some rabbits tonight. If I do, it's not, I'm not insinuating anything. I'm just trying to be honest with you. Just trying to let the Lord have an opportunity to say what He wants to say, not get ahead of Him. Right now, I'm just kind of waiting on the Lord a little bit. But you know, a lot of people that get married and they truly do love each other. They start out now with two left feet. I mean, they truly are yoked in the heart and they do so good. And then you let one of them come into some money or something like that right there. And some reason that's kind of like a policeman putting on a uniform. All of a sudden, buddy, he's a different guy. I mean, his chest stuck out there, you know, and all of a sudden, I mean, you say, wow, that uniform do all of that. But, you know, lots of times things change things. And you know, that man, you know, he's got, you know, inherited a bunch of money or something like that. And all of a sudden now, you know, he's forsook the wife of his youth and you know, he's kind of naying at the neighbor's wife or something like that right there. And he thinks because he's got all this money, you know, that somehow something has changed. And you know, Lot and Abraham, they all of a sudden come into a lot of money. And that money caused more problems than it was worth. Is anybody going to amen tonight? Am I just going to preach till midnight? Hey, it's going to be quiet in here. I'm going to lay down the anchor, buddy. We'll stay a while. Amen. I'll tell you what, that money brought him more trouble than it was worth. And it caused the separation of this nephew from his uncle. And you know, Lot, Abraham told him, he said, you choose whatever and I'll take what's left. But I'll tell you what, even today, there are people that have left the good fellowship of Abraham for the wickedness of places like Sodom. And just like Lot, thank you, Brother Melvin, they've moved their tent, and after they move their tent, now listen to me now, I'm your brother, I'm your pastor, I love you, I'm nothing, I ain't really got any usurping authority to anyone here tonight, but I want you to know after Lot made that mistake, then he made the mistake of living in denial. Hello. What that means is he knows he's messed up, his wife knows he's messed up, but everybody's nobody going to say nothing, you know. Yeah. I mean, he's made a mistake. I've made them. You've made them. We all have made them. But the greatest mistake is when you won't admit that mistake and you deny the obvious. I mean, here you are. You know you don't need to be there. You know why you're there. You made a mistake. Your family's there. But instead of getting up and moving out, you sit there and live in the now. Amen. My cousin, me and Brother Melvin, was over at his house this week. And he's out of the will of God right now. I'll just say it for him. But I'll tell you what, when he was in the will of God, let me say this also for him. Him and his wife went to a movie one night at the cinema. And in that movie, someone cussed. He got his wife, said, we're leaving, let's go. Now I'm going to tell you, the same man He got up out of that movie theater because he knew he didn't need to be in there with someone talking like they was talking on that screen. That don't mean you're going to stand every time 10 foot tall. I'll tell you right now, buddy, we ain't home yet. There's a devil walking about down here, thinking he made a buy, and Lot made a poor decision. But after he made that poor decision, he not just dwelt in Sodom, he started living in denial, amen. And he wouldn't admit it, amen. Well, that's the worst decision anybody could make. Wouldn't admit his mistake. So the Bible tells us here that he vexed his righteous soul, how long? From day to day. What's that? Has the world burned or something like that? This life or something? I don't know. I don't know what soap powers. My wife knows them all, but name everything. But you know what? He vexed his righteous soul. That means you're living in the now. From day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know, when somebody takes God's name in vain, I cringe just a little bit. Oh yeah, I'll match this finger. I know it's that one here, but anyway, I'll hold them all up. I'll match this finger right here. I ran into a guy yesterday and he said my finger had a band-aid on his bleed. He said, good Lord, what'd you do to that finger? I said, I mashed that thing off at that work. He said, well, did you have any choice words? I said, no, sir. I said, before I got saved, I'd have had some choice words to look around somebody blaming on. I said, it's different now. I have to admit, I wish I hadn't have done it. But there ain't nothing going to allow me to get to have the privilege to take my Lord's name in vain. Amen. I mean, the Bible said he to take the Lord's name in vain will not be found guiltless. It says thine enemies take thy name in vain. But I want you to know what's down here and the filthy conversation pouring out and the septic tank of Sodom and Lot's bitching his righteous soul. Amen. Day to day, they're filled with conversation. I've worked in four factories. I've about had my fill. Man, I feel like I'm in Sodom down there sometimes. We just run in. We won't run over and visit this guy that got hurt by that bull. Just so happened, we walked in there. There was Darrell and their guy I worked with at Donnelly's. And I saw him and he saw me. We both stepped back and I said, Brother Melvin, he's worked with me. Ask him what kind of man I was before he got saved. He said, he rough, wicked, crooked as a dog's leg. I said, you ever tell him what happened? Jesus saved me. He said, glory to God, he's been walking straight ever since. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, God not just save a man, but that man will go living for God and build up a testimony. The Bible said Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. That's one thing. Get saved, but leave something behind. Let your family know what the Lord means to you. Let the world know. Amen. Hallelujah. Leave something behind. Don't leave some poor preacher up there. Try to say something about you that ain't true. And him sit up there and stutter and stammer and saying, you know, he's a good man. And I remember one time Jimmy Hood, he went to the funeral of his brother-in-law. He said they had some preacher up there, said he had lace on his underwear. That's what Jimmy said. Jimmy Ruff, he's straight to Columbus, Ohio. Said they had some preacher up there, lace on his underwear. And he's talking about his brother-in-law. He said he was a good father. Jimmy said, don't you lie. He ain't never been a father. I rode with him on them harlots. And we drunk and we doped. And all. Don't you say a lie about my brother-in-law. That guy, he don't know what to say. You know, nobody calls nobody's hand. But Jimmy, he ain't like that. Jimmy, he pretty rough. I'll tell you right now, I thank God for Jimmy Hood every now and then, boy. Oh, I'll tell you what, he can get through them old callous hard hearts. Lot lived in denial. Wouldn't admit his mistake. So Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know, a lot of Lots today, they know they're not in the will of God. Oh, it's quieter. And you know, I've heard every excuse in the world, but Lord. I have. I've heard them all. I mean, I've heard some real dandelions. I mean, I've heard some excuses. I can't even share them with you that bad. But I've heard all kind of people. I said, why? They said, well, Brother Eddie, you know, I said, I wish you hadn't even told me. I can't share it. I really can't. Some things I will not go there. But I sat there and I thought, you got to be kidding me. But Lot here, he's vexing his righteous soul rather than pick up tent stakes and get out of Sodom. And you know, I know a lot of Lots today. And rather than come out from among them, like the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, and be ye separate, Lot lived in the filth of Sodom, dwelling among them, verse number 8 says, you know, the Bible says not to have no fellowship with the unrighteous works of darkness, but rather reprove them, Ephesians 5, verse 11. And listen, what the Bible says then, says now, ain't nothing changed. It's just like the Lord. He's saying yesterday, today, and forevermore. He settled this word in the heavens. He magnified above all His name. He commanded to a thousand generations. He said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will endure forever. Amen. You know what the atheists like to do? They like to get rid of that Bible. You know what the sinner like to do? They like to get rid of that Bible. I got news for them. That Bible's bigger than them. That Bible itself says you fall on it and you live. It says if it falls on you, it'll grind you to powder, Sister Molly. But you know what, men, they hate, oh man, they hate that darkness. I'm sorry. They hate that light because they're in darkness. I couldn't see that right. Trying to get my breath up here, breathing like a blacksmith's bellows. But I'll tell you right now, they hate light. Because they love darkness. And I tell you what, they don't want no fellowship. You know, when I got saved, Brother Lloyd, I lost all my friends. Every one of them. I lost most of my family. Man, old Brother Eddie showed up and it was like I had the bubonic plague or something. I mean, jumping out windows and everything. I mean, they try to organize things behind my back. Family reunions and birthday parties and anniversaries and I had to somehow figure it out myself and show up. And but I showed up, they done gone. Yeah. Oh, what is it about getting saved? Man, ain't nobody getting saved. If you get saved, you'll find out, boy. All of a sudden, buddy, listen, you don't fit in nowhere no more. All of a sudden now, boy, people are behind your back, all to your face, oh, hey, Brother Eddie, behind your back, it's daggers. boy. Oh me, I lost all my friends. I lost all my family. I mean, boy, things is different. You thought I had bad breath or something. My friends left me, disowned me, didn't want to be around me. Family didn't want to be around me. But I didn't pitch my tent towards sin and Sodom. Amen. Now, you know what a lot of people do? Now listen, I'm going to get down this old cornbread, down to earth preaching. A lot of people get saved, get straightened out. Donnie, you listen. They get saved, get straightened out. And you know, just soon you get saved and get straightened out, that old devil, he come up here and he sit down beside you and put that old arm around. And he said, now listen, you don't really have to set the standard all that high. You know, you can compromise here a little bit. Everybody's always asking me, is it okay for this? What are they asking me for? Must be something wrong. I mean, I don't ask nobody about nothing. I go to the Word of God. They come and say, well, you know, I hate to admit, when I first got saved, I asked my wife, so I'm guilty. I remember it now, Sister Carolyn. I just now remember my sin. But I asked my wife, I said, honey, you think it's okay for a man to drink after he gets saved? And I mean, here I am, a drunk, just got saved, and you know, that thirst is still there. Here I am saved, I can't enjoy it no more. I mean, I'm literally having to force it up under my lip drinking. I'm still drinking, God forbid. I'll be honest with you, I'm glad God got the hog out of me. He got the sin out, and then He got the hog out. But anyway, I asked my wife, she said, hey, maybe one every now and then, but not the way you drink, buddy. I don't think anybody drink like you drink. You know, my wife, I have to admit, she was desperate, Sister Carolyn, just to say maybe one every now and then. She shouldn't have never said that. She should have put her finger in her husband's face and say, absolutely not. You ought not ever let the lip touch your lips. You're saved now. You're living for Him now. And let me say this now to clear the air on that. You know Christ Jesus lives in me. And whatever I do, He's got to do. And there's a lot of references in the Bible about joining Christ to a harlot and you know, all that stuff. But you know what? This is water. But if this was past blue ribbon like I used to drink, or Budweiser, or something, whatever, and I took a drink, you know what? He'd have to take a drink too. I love Him. I didn't realize that at the time. It come later, boy, when I realized it. Well, God finally got the hog out of me. It was about getting one of them wisdom teeth out. It didn't come out easy, but He finally got it out of me. And I'll tell you what, boy. I didn't pitch my tent towards Sodom. I didn't pitch it towards sin just to have my friends. What I was trying to say a while ago is you get saved and the first thing the devil try to do, people used to call it fence straddlers or one day this way, one day that way, whatever. But, you know, that's the first thing the devil tried to do. He tried to see where you want to draw the line at. Now, there really ain't no line. But I'll tell you right now, the devil will say, well, you know, we could move that line on out there just a little bit. It won't really hurt nothing. You remember Lot when they drug him out of Sodom? He told them angels, he said, hey, there's a little city over here, just a little one. Can I just go over there? Just a little one. You know, we just want just a little sin. But I want you to know just a little sin is just as wicked, just as lethal as a lot of sin. I mean, boy, a little leaven at the whole lump. And I'm telling you right now, you can't take fire in your bosom and not be burned. I'm telling you right now, sin is lethal. Oh, me, I wish there wasn't no such a word as sin. Wouldn't it be great if everybody just be filled with the Lord? Love everybody. Oh, God. And live for God. I mean, like we'll get up there in heaven. How you doing, neighbor? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you're having a good day. Oh, but it's, who's he think he is? What did I do? Why did he look at me like that? I ain't done nothing to them. Oh, no. I'm going to find out, though. And boy, I'm going to get them back. You wait and see. Now, I'm down there where we're living at now. I didn't hear no amen, but I'll tell you right now, buddy, I've been there. Amen. I remember one time, Brother Lloyd, I was sitting at Bethel Baptist Church. And I'm going to pretend it's Bethel Baptist Church. And I was sitting right here. And the devil sat down right here. I wasn't having too good a day. And the devil knew it. You know, it's something about, I don't know about Satan, he just knows. You know what he told me? Now listen, I'm going to tell him what he said. He said, I believe if I was you. I thought about it. I said, that's right. I'll just leave. Then they'll know. Where'd old Brother Eddie go? Wonder what happened to Brother Eddie. Hey, the devil sit over there. And I, as God is my witness, I still remember him saying, I'd leave if I was you. And I'll tell you what, buddy. You better not be thin-skinned. If you want to live for God, you better have the armor on. There is a real devil down here. He'll plow upon, he'll make his furrows deep upon your back. He'll walk up and down with hobnose boots. I tell you what, when you're down here kicking the mouth, he wants to make sure that you stay down, that you don't get up. But I want you to know, glory to God, when I get down and I can't get up, there's a nail-scarred hand, and glory to God, it's always within reach. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory! Thank God. I'm glad I got help. Because there's plenty of trouble. We're troubled on every side, Paul said. Cast down, forsaken. Oh, it ain't no cakewalk, I'll tell you right now. Oh, me, my friends, my family. But I'll tell you one thing, it's worth it. I'll tell you what, after I finally got, I don't know what you call it, where the devil said, well, I'm wasting my time, I've been here long enough, move somebody else. Allowed me to get a little bit of my composure back. I got my mind cleared out of some of those thoughts from hell. And I tell you what, buddy, I started getting the mind of Christ again. I started seeking the things of God again. My roots started going down again. I started bearing fruit up again. And I said, hallelujah, glory to God. You can get in them mullet grubs. You can get on them juniper trees. You can say it's enough. I'm not no better than nobody else. I'm ready to die. Well, I am ready to die, but there's work to do. I want to finish my work before I die. But I'll tell you what. Oh, me, just getting saved, just the beginning of it. You got to grow. You got to grow in wisdom. You got to grow in grace. You got to grow. Oh, me, I'm not talking about like Anthony, a foot taller than me. I'm talking about, buddy, you got to grow to that stature of the fullness of Christ where you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil and having done all to stand there with amen. Glory to God. Anybody listening tonight? Oh, listen, what Lot did. Let me put it in clear terms. When light goes back to darkness, the lighter end is worse than the beginning. Now listen, I was wicked. I mean, I was wicked. But you want to know a more wicked man than I was? Y'all please listen to me tonight. I love you tonight. I've seen this. I've seen it. You want to see a more wicked man than I was? And I was wicked. I'm ashamed of Eddie Wade. But if Eddie Wade ever went back, you'd see a more wicked man than Eddie Wade ever was. I've seen shipwreck upon shipwreck of faith that hit the rocks of despair, that didn't make good choices, that pitched their tent towards something. And I saw him end up on the rocks of destruction. I saw him be swallowed up. I saw him take their lives. I saw him take the lives of their family. I've seen him serve in jail time. I've seen him in courtroom. I've seen him, amen. I'm just trying to warn you tonight. Light don't need to go back to darkness. Oh, listen, you come into the light. Walk in the light. He's in the light. Have fellowship with him. Joy. Things of God. But Lot went in the darkness and the light are in. His words were them in the beginning. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Verse 22. Words that we can understand. The dog is returned to his own vomit. Well, I spent many a night hugging a bathroom fixture, thinking any minute I'll see my shoelaces. Having a good time. Oh boy, had a good time. I mean, boy, I don't know what to call it. Have an eye black, ear cut off. Boy, we had a good time.
Just let me live. I'll never do it again.
I've been there, Rick. I'm telling you, boy. And you do something, you put your face where you wouldn't think you'd never do it. All the time. Boy, the devil just got you on them puppet strings and he's making a mock of you. He's over a life and you're over a suffering. He could care less. But the dog returned its vomit. You know why that dog vomits? He's sick. You know what he does? Gets a little better. Comes back and says, hey, that don't look too bad. We've all just have some of that. I've seen dogs do it. Y'all men that had dogs, you've seen them do it too. That's what the Bible says. It said the dogs returned to his own vomit. 2 Peter 2:22. And it said, the sow to her wallowing in the mire. I've seen young girls get saved. I mean, buddy, mascara melt away. And makeup just disappear. I've seen it. And oh, boy, have an extreme makeover spiritually. I mean, have something, boy, that I'll tell you what, that the world takes note of, they've been with Jesus. I've seen it. Matter of fact, I went to my pastor's mother-in-law's funeral. His granddaughter showed up, and had she not went to him and hugged his neck, I'd have never even known her. She had that gothic look, black lipstick, black hair, little Chelsea. Not the little Chelsea we got, but the little Chelsea that used to be that size that I watched her grow up in my midst and watched her love the Lord and watched her sing the songs of Zion. But oh, the world's had its way with Chelsea. And I saw her at that funeral go over and hug the neck of her grandfather. And I saw him weep and I wept. And I couldn't quit weeping. They thought I was crying because of Lou Pettigo up there in the coffin. But I wasn't crying because Lou Pettigo passed away. Lou Pettigo graduated with honors. I mean, a saint of God, gone home. And I went up there and told my pastor I couldn't quit crying. I said, Brother Rick, I would have never known Chelsea if she hadn't have come and hugged your neck. And me and him just wept. Because I'm telling you what, the sight was unbearable. There was a young lady coming here late one Sunday evening, coming here for just a second. And I went a little further than I was aiming to preach that night because I didn't know her. But I reckon she growed up in this church. We can't get her back. And I'll tell you right now, I wished it wasn't so. I wished it wasn't so. I'll do anything I could. Try to get people in church, try to get them to go back. But I want you to know when light goes back into darkness, it ain't good. I saw Chelsea and I ain't kidding you about made me vomit. Made me sick of sin. Made me, I'll tell you what, boy, just get mad at it. I saw what it done to that beautiful young girl. Oh, I'm telling you what, she had a dress on so tight she couldn't even walk. I'm not a girl, but I'll tell you what, taking steps like this right here, that dress will fit her. And I saw her walk up there and I thought, golly, boy, that's rough looking. And she went to my pastor. Reached up and hugged his neck. Him, like the father of the prodigal son, fell upon her neck and kissed her and wept. I wouldn't have known her, Brother Lloyd. I wouldn't have known if she had to hug his neck. I'm telling you, I could not recognize that as being the little girl I saw grow up. I've seen it time and time again. I wish God would give us tears for souls like that right there. And I'll tell you what, we'd go beyond the normal. And we'd call them and be persistent about it, never let up. And I'll tell you what, I believe that if we'll keep seeking them. And the Bible said, he that go forth, we man, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless return, bringing his cheese with him, amen. I believe we need to go forth weeping, amen. I pray for God, give me tears. I said, Lord, I don't care if people laugh at me. I wish I couldn't preach for weeping. I wish my face would just have rivers of tears running down it. Because I'm telling you what, boy, tears is a language that everyone understands. And Sister Margaret says she listens to radio quite a bit, and it's good. But I heard a woman on there one time. I heard her give her testimony. She's a millionaire, made a fortune. Right in the middle of all that wealth, God said, I want you to go to Africa. Won't you be a missionary? She walked away from a fortune, put on literally sackcloth to go down there. When they got down there, the plane broke down. They was in the middle of nowhere. She had nothing to do. She started walking down the road. And she walked down that road, she met a black woman, an Ethiopian woman. She said, I didn't know her language and she didn't know me. She said, I walked over and looked at this woman. She said, it was kind of funny. None of us saying a word. Just walked up to each other, looked at each other in the eye. She said she put her hand, her calloused hand up there and touched my soft white face like this right here. And she said when she did, she said, I saw the bite marks on her. And she explained why she had those bite marks on her. That she'd been abused and mistreated. And she said, I started weeping. And the woman, she said she took her tears off of her face and put them on her face because she couldn't even cry. But she said, even though she didn't know the language, she said she knew the tears was real. And she said she reached up there and wiped my tears off. And she reached over and put them on her face. And I'll tell you what, that bite mark, it's not good. It's not good. I don't want to talk about tonight. It's something I'd rather discuss in private. But I'll tell you right now, boy, tears, they still touch people. I'll tell you what, boy, tears. Oh, me. The dogs return to his vomit. The hogs return to the water and the mire. If you go back in the darkness, you'll go back to the fermenting drink. I've drunk my share of it. You'll go back to the filthy conversation. I've seen it. You'll go back to the fornication. I know this is preacher talk. I'll tell you right now what I'm telling you, that's real. The Bible said abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. Don't have no secret affair with sin. Right. And awakened thought he had a secret affair with sin. Oh man, old Joshua got down there and prayed. God said, get up. Sin in the camp. God said, where? He said, call them all up here. Everybody was perplexed. Who? God said, I know who. And they drew lots, and Lot fell upon Achan. He come to him. He said, give God the glory. What have you done? He said, I covered him. It's in my tent. It's on the ground, buried. But it wasn't out of sight of God. Ananias and Sapphira wasn't out of sight of God. Buried them both. You'll go back to the fermented drink. You'll go back to the filthy conversation. You'll go back to the fornication. You'll go back to the friends you had. You'll leave the true friendship of Jesus. I'm telling you what, you'll go back. If you go into darkness, amen. What you was in a latter end be worse than the beginning. And all of a sudden, instead of, boy, I know that man's a Christian. They'll say, I thought he's a Christian. I've heard it. I thought she said she loved the Lord. I've heard it. I've heard it. It hurts. Because I love them. The Bible said if a brethren be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in meekness, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. There's a restoration. Now, Brother Melvin, he restores cars. I've seen some of them he's got in there, and they just got light, moderate damage. And he'll rebuild them, make them look like new again. But I want you to know, buddy, I've seen complete wrecks that should have been hauled to a sinkhole, and somebody saw something in it, and when they got done with that thing, you could never tell that thing had ever been in a wreck, and a lot of people's lives are just like that. There, I mean, I'm talking about they done been totaled, a complete wreck, they need an extreme makeover, and even though I'm not interested, I want you to know, God's told me many times, He said, I'm interested! Go over there and plead with them! Mm-hmm. Tell them all of them. Boy, it's sad when light goes back into darkness. Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day. You know what Paul told the Galatian church? Here in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 20. This is sad. Now, Paul's the one that started all them churches. Galatia, Corinth, and Ephesians, and Ephesus, really. Thessalonica, and all of them. You know what he said now? Galatians chapter 4, verse 20. He said, I stand in doubt of you. That's pretty bad to tell a church. I stand in doubt of you. Oh, man. That's pretty sad. I driving down the road and that came to my mind. I thought, oh, man, I hope nobody ever doubts whether old Eddie Wade's saved or not. I hope there's enough evidence that if I'm ever brought before the court system of this world, before the judicial system of this world, that there'll be enough evidence that they won't have no problem realizing I'm saved. Love the Lord. Going to live for Him every breath He gives me. But Paul said, I stand in doubt of you. Listen, some of you are the only Bible that some people ever read. I wonder how many people went to hell because some Christian is only a Christian on Sunday. I wonder how many people went to hell, stood before God and said, you know, if it hadn't been for that hypocrite, I'd live for you, Lord, but I just didn't see nothing in it. I'll tell you what, Lot lived in denial. Lot shouldn't have been drugged out of Sodom. But I'll tell you right now, if you're going to live that kind of life, God loves you. One day, it's your amazement, just like Lot, God's going to come, and I'll tell you what, He's going to drag you out kicking and screaming, because I'll tell you right now, you belong to Him, and it's His property. You know, I left some in the store one time. I drove all the way home. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, I forgot a sack. I'm going back to get it. I done paid for it. It's mine. I went up there, and I said, I left a sack in here. Where is it? And he said, we put it right here behind the counter. I said, well, I bought it. It's mine. I want it. He said, here you go, sir. I said, thank you. Well, just like that, God's coming. You can live like Lot if you want to. Or you can live the good Abraham life. Be a friend of God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. One of them men that God said, I know him. I know he'll teach his children. Well, it's good. God said good about Abraham. He said, I know him. He'll teach his children right. Amen. Or you can live like Lot and the world will have a heyday. And the devil will love every minute of it. I'll tell you what. Father, we thank you for the message tonight. I pray, dear Father, tonight there was something on the bone tonight for somebody that was hungry tonight, Lord. Lord, there's just cornbread preaching tonight down there where we live. And I pray, Father, Lord, tonight, someone, Lord, through the message tonight, see themselves in the mirror of God. And I pray, Lord, if they don't like what they see, I pray, dear Father, tonight they'd be honest about it. I know your word says you desire truth in the inward parts. I pray they'd come up here and say, Brother Eddie, pray with me. I need prayer. And Father, we pray for Billy tonight that called us. I'm sorry I forgot that. But I pray for Billy and his family tonight. They're both sick, and him and Sharon and the girls have got stomach flu. We pray for them. Lord, you'd visit them tonight and Lord, heal every one of them. And I pray they give a testimony, Lord, that you'd visit them and help them in their sickness. I pray also for that man that he mentioned. I done forgot his name. Lord, he said he had cancer. We pray for him also. Lord, you know who it is. Help us in this invitation. Thank you for visiting our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we thank and ask it all. Amen. Get Brother Melvin, please. Invitation on him. Listen, I want you to consider what I said tonight. If you need to come, I'll tell you right now, don't even drag your feet. Jump up right now. Like that's everybody stand. While you're standing, just go on, step on out. Come on up here. I'll be honest with you, I've done it 100 million times. It was a good day when I come in there and said, Lord, it's me. We need to talk. I got some things that are in disarray and I want to get them in order. And I tell you what, buddy, the only thing I ever said about it is I'm just glad I done it. I fell on that altar and I said, Lord, I ain't home yet. I got a long ways before I get home probably. And it's probably going to be more times than this. And I'm going to have to come and talk to you about things in my life. But I'll tell you right now, God already knows everything. The Bible said He knows you're down, sitting, you're up, rising. He even knows your thoughts are far off. 164. If you need to come tonight, have a good old Baptist invitation. Won't you just come? Won't you just come? Been to Jesus for the cleansing. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace is high? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? What about it? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hold on a second, Brother Melvin. I'll tell you what, I preach a message like this right here. I want to be careful. So I want to ask every head to be bowed just a second. There's somebody here tonight, Brother Eddie, I need prayer. Please remember me in prayer. If I see that hand, I promise you this, you will be prayed for. Thank God for that hand. Thank God for that hand. There's another one. Thank you. I appreciate that. There's another one. Listen, I love you tonight. Every one of you that's raised your hand, you will be earnestly prayed for because I love you. Because I meant every word of what I said. And I'll tell you what, we're giving another invitation on him. We're going to sing a couple more verses of this song. I'm sorry, Brother Melvin, I'm stuttering here. We're going to sing a couple more verses of this song. Listen, if you want to do more than raise your hand, you come up here and we'll pray right now. But if you don't, that's okay too. I want you to know I love you. God loves you. And I appreciate you being honest. Let's sing a couple more verses of this, Brother Melvin. Walking daily by the Savior's side, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? On the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? Verse 4, Brother Melvin. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed? Keep singing, brother. Let's see what you got. Lord, I pray with my sister here tonight. I thank you so much for charity. Lord, you know how much I love her. And Lord, I know how much you love her. And I pray your mighty blessings upon her. Lord, we're not in heaven. Lord, we're going there, but we ain't got there yet. And I just pray, Lord, you give her strength for the journey that's ahead. Lord, help her, I pray, go before her. Be her shield, be her strength. Bless charity, bless Peyton. Lord, they're precious in your sight. They love you. They're tender plants, tender vessels. And I just pray, dear Lord, they won't have to look too far to find all the help they need in you. Bless them, I pray. Help them to make good decisions. Help them to win their friends. Help them to pray for their families. Bless them, Lord. Amen. I love you, sweetie. Love you both. Stand with me. In the blood of the Lamb. Well, I appreciate those two young girls. They're showing us what we need to do. He just stepped out, unashamed, walked up here. I didn't ask him. I just said, let's pray. Anybody got anything on your heart tonight? Appreciate you coming. I love you. I may not be much of a pastor, but I'll tell you what, I love you much. I'll call your names out one by one. All your requests have been lifted up to God. All your requests have been lifted up to God. Every single one of them that you've mentioned. I like that preacher preached this morning. I've been on my knees and took time to pray. I've fasted and prayed. I prayed because I love you. I prayed because I believed there was a need. I love you. See, anybody got a testimony tonight? Thank you, Brother Anthony. I appreciate you, brother. Appreciate your faithfulness. Amen. Amen, Sister Molly. I saw a lot. I saw a lot. It's funny, his name's Lot, but I saw a lot of people move their tent the wrong way. It'll break your heart. And you know, you say, what happened? You know, it ain't even a good excuse. I saw so much of it. Oh, me. God bless you, Sister Molly. Well said. We need to be careful where we drive our tent stakes. I don't drive mine too deep. I'm getting ready to leave out. I just barely put them in the ground. But you know what this body I'm living in, that's all it is, a tent. All it is a tent covering over tent poles. That's all it is. I gave them my soul right here in this little fleshly tent. That's all it is. This tent right here. It's not going to go to Sodom unless it's going to go down there and try to pull somebody out. Like those angels went down and pulled Sodom out. Pull a lot out. Anybody else got a testimony tonight? I won't keep you. I preached long and I meant to preach. Couldn't find no good place to get out. Good. Thank you, Brother Melvin.
Thank you, Lord, for the message.
Bless you, Sister Carolyn. Amen. Amen. Little church, the big work. Doing a big work. I appreciate what she just said. And I do appreciate it. But it's so true. This is a little church, but it's doing a big work. It's yet to be seen. Amen. We're just planting seed right now. One day it'll come up. You'll see it. You'll see it. And you'll have a part in it. It'll make you proud. You see little Dawson stand up and say, I just got saved. And you'll watch him grow up and he'll say, God's called me to preach. And you know what I heard Peyton say tonight? She said, Brother Eddie, she said, I'm not going to date no boy unless she goes to church. I'm going to find me a good church man. She's just a little girl. I'm so proud of her, Brother Lloyd. She said, I'm not just going to go with anybody. She's going to have to go to church. She's going to have to love the Lord. I tell you what, I'm so proud. I'm popping buttons off and I ain't even got Sister Joyce here. So I'm back on. God bless you, Sister Carolyn. Amen. Anybody else got anything on your heart tonight? Listen, it's God's time. You can throw the watches away if you want to. But if we're done, I certainly like that preacher. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm proud to be here. Somebody said, I wouldn't drive that far. I said, you went where I went and got what I got and felt what I felt, saw what I saw, you drive that far. I'll tell you what, some of y'all would hold a mirror for like Brother Melvin said, and let y'all see what I get to see. It's a blessing. Sure is. Amen. We're done? All right. God bless you tonight. Thank you for coming. Brother Hired, you please dismiss this word of prayer, brother.
Thank you for this another opportunity.